Conversations like the one you are about to hear are supported by NetForce PC. From fixing your home PC or Mac to complete managed IT services for your company's network, NetForce PC can help. NetForcePC.com.
Albert Gomez, thanks so much for being here with me this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about substance abuse. What does it look like right now among vets? How big of a problem is it really?
Well, I would say that it's definitely a prominent issue with veterans in our communities. A lot of it, I don't think, is so much on the front end where you see a lot of it. I think a lot of it's happening more behind the scenes. A lot of veterans tend to isolate drinking and issues around drinking in particular. Substance abuse even more so. But it seems to be where maybe because there's some stigma attached to substance abuse in general, a lot of veterans are not seeking services that are available, or maybe those resources, they're not even aware that those are available to them, especially in rural communities.
Yeah. So what are some of the factors that are leading vets to abuse drugs or alcohol?
Well, a lot of veterans are dealing with underlying issues, mental health issues, even just simple readjustment issues. So if you're talking about, OIF, OEF veterans, a lot of the process of discharging and, returning to rural communities, being thrust back into being a civilian now and not having a scripted schedule and that routine, and being thrust into now having to deal with all these things. A lot of them are familial issues where they're dealing with reintegrating back into their families. Pre and post deployment, it might look completely different for them. Being gone for up to a year, maybe more for some. And then returning home, whether they discharge and move back, and being reintegrated into that system that has been really autonomous or working on its own while the veteran, is still a service member in the military, and then having that veteran come back and I've seen it both with males and females where, I left my home life, my family life, and it looked like this, and I've been gone. I'm expected to come back to it being the same, whereas that family system has changed over time. It's learned to adapt and to really evolve since that person has left. So everything has kind of changed, almost like a kaleidoscope where things kind of fall into place, and then now you've kind of jumbled up that whole process again, and so you kind of have to see how things are gonna settle, so to speak.
Yeah. So. How does it look different now than it did maybe 20, 30 years ago? As it relates to, especially to substance abuse?
I would say 20, 30 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago, you had a lot of veterans who I think, for in different types of programs, maybe they were seen as beneficial to come to certain places to maybe have a few beers to process kind of what's been going on. You don't see a whole lot of that anymore as far as having that hub. I know some of the organizations like the VFWs are looking at these newer, younger veterans and saying, well, okay, so what's different about these younger veterans and how do we get some of them to come to some of these organizations that have been around for a long time and have done a lot of good in the community, but maybe there's some disconnect there. I think a lot of veterans, especially even with the issues here in Colorado around substance abuse and about legalizing marijuana in particular or decriminalizing it, it also has added another layer to it, whether it's seen as medicinal purposes or whatever that veteran is really doing, but with that substance. But I think that process has changed, and maybe even more as a society, we've are looking at substance abuse differently as far as being maybe a moral failing years and years ago versus now, where we understand that it's a progressive condition and it can be a treatable condition, and it doesn't have to be this chronic progressive condition. You can find treatment to help with that.
How is it different here in rural areas too? Because I mean, when you're in an urban area, you might have access to a lot more treatment kind of programs than you would here in a rural area like Cortez.
Well, and this is a great example. I'm based out of the Farmington Vet Center, and we travel. We have 35,000 square miles that we travel in this region. Wow. And so all the way down to Gallup and Grants area, all the way up this way, Cortez, Telluride, all this region of Colorado. And so with that being said, we know that a lot of veterans, especially in rural communities, either they're from these communities or they come to these communities to have some isolation, to be away from a lot of the big cities, to be away from people, to kind of have their, maybe with their families or whatever the case may be. But a lot of veterans come to rural areas to kind of get away and be away. That's good on one end if they're dealing with a lot of issues like PTSD or maybe even substance abuse, but it also disconnects them from a lot of the resources that are more readily available in these urban areas and more even in areas where there's a base or a hub where they can receive those services and get services where they know a lot of the issues are similar to other veterans that are dealing with similar struggles. And I think that that's a big piece of it is a lot of veterans think that I'm the only one that's dealing with this and I'm isolated, where it's not an exact match because we're all different and we're all, you know, we start from that human, that person. But a lot of it's similar, a lot of it's readjustment, a lot of it's family, a lot of it's I don't have the tools to cope with a lot of the issues that I'm dealing with, depression, anxiety, symptoms of PTSD. And so they turn to the one thing that maybe has worked for them in the past, and it becomes a coping mechanism, and that really, really quickly becomes a maladaptive coping mechanism around the substance abuse. And really, it's kind of you see veterans kind of doing a downward spiral where the more they avoid, the more that they are dealing with these symptoms, the more that they are trying to suppress using substances. And it seems to just kind of fester and kind of keep this thing kind of spinning, you know, inside them. And whereas to get that stuff out and to talk about those things, to realize that other veterans are dealing with these issues is a huge part of healing and recovery. So
we hear quite a bit in the news about across the country, this crisis around opioids and prescription drug use. How big of an issue is that with vets right now?
Well, I would say that it's something that is more on the forefront in the larger society, but in veterans as well. So a lot of times you see that what the veterans are dealing with and their issues, it's a microcosm of what's occurring in the larger population. Mm-hmm. We know with pain medications, a lot of injuries that are sustained in combat, veterans are coming back and they're being prescribed opioids to deal with pain issues and especially chronic pain issues. If you're talking about somebody who has, you know, let's say a condition where they have an injury to their back and it's not necessarily going to get a whole lot better, you're talking about pain for years and years and years and this chronic issue and being prescribed something that can be habit forming, that is a substance that is abused. In my work as an alcohol and drug abuse counselor in New Mexico, I've seen a lot of the veterans that have, or even in this area too, I would say, but I've seen a lot of the veterans be prescribed from, I think, physicians who have good intentions. It's not something that they're trying to set the veterans up for failure in any way, but a lot of times they prescribe something on the front end without really looking at the substance abuse history. And especially if there's a familial history, a generational history, it predisposes to a lot of to what we're dealing with as far as a veteran currently. But also if they've suffered with issues in their past, around substances, and then prescribing an opioid can really be setting them up for a lot more issues. And so you look at that further down the road, and now you're trying to wean somebody off and titrate and get that person off that medication can be pretty problematic. And then a lot of times it's unfortunate they're cut off right when they are, you know, really have developed a dependency toward this substance. And then now what do you do when you don't have any way to manage this pain? And talking about excruciating pain for some of the veterans, especially when they have these chronic conditions.
So. Yeah. Well, what are some things that families or spouses can do to help a vet who might be struggling with some of these substance abuse issues?
Well, I think a big piece of that is to let them know that they're not alone, that they have support from that family nucleus, obviously, first off. But if they're struggling within that system, that there are systems available outside of that to reach out. Like I said, we come up from Farmington, New Mexico, once a week. We're here in Cortez on Wednesdays, and So there are programs available. It's just realizing that, hey, I'm not alone and I need to access this service. A lot of it may be that the veteran is, and it has a lot to do with the culture of the military of not accessing services, not saying on some level that I need help. And when your role is a protector of our nation, and then you are not sufficient anymore, that's kind of hard to deal with, especially even our, as a society, the way we look at veterans and say, well, there are our war heroes, there are people that are protecting our country. That says a lot too, and how the training and everything else that goes into that ethos, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then now that I'm not capable of doing that, and I need help, is a bigger step. I think across the board, you know, but more so even for veterans to reach out and say, I'm struggling. I need some help with this. So.
What is the best way for vets or families to find help? Who do they contact?
Well, I would say starting, everything's online now. I would say starting an online search would be good. There are a lot of resources. We have community clinics. We have through the Veterans Administration. I work for Vet Centers, and Vet Centers have been around since 1979. They got commissioned to start this process. And what's really neat about our process as far as being a Vet Center is our records and everything is separate and confidential from the big VA. And so that allows a veteran to seek out services through Vet Centers and know that unless they want to, they could sign a release at that point, ROI, release of information, if they want the records shared with the bigger VA. But everything is in-house, and Vet Centers are a smaller mission designed specifically for readjustment issues. So those are things like PTSD, military sexual trauma, substance abuse issues, family issues. We're a counseling center, and that's what we do, and that's what we specialize in, is working with veterans. So I would say, looking on our website, we're located pretty strategically in all states. But just taking a look at those resources, going online and checking to see what's available to veterans in their communities. And we can assist with that too if a veteran is struggling trying to find some assistance.
All right. Well, Albert, thank you so much for being here and talking with me today. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
That's it. Albert Gomez. He is a readjustment counseling therapist. He's with the Vets Center in Farmington, New Mexico. You've been listening to KSJD's monthly Veterans Affairs program. I'm Tom Yoder.